The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of parish communion this morning. And in our service, we're going to be thinking about what it is to follow Jesus and to invite others to follow him as well. And in our service today, we're looking forward to welcoming people after the service to some tea and coffee, which will be served over in the sexton's room after our service. If you can stay, you'd be really, really welcome. You'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. You'll see most of our regular weekly activities are happening this week. I just wanted in particular to highlight one or two things that don't happen every week. And in particular, I wanted to draw people's attention to our special concert on Friday night at 7:30, a Reconnect worship concert. And it's taking place over in the church hall. There's no admission charge to the concert, and we're very delighted that the worship and the praise band are going to be leading us in a time of worship as we give thanks for bringing us safely thus far out of the pandemic and into hopefully a new phase of life again. And there is no admission charge, but there is the opportunity if people wish to make a donation to the St. Finian's Uganda project. And the concert begins next Friday at 7:30, and all are welcome. And we hope you can come and maybe bring a friend or a neighbour, and you'll be really, really welcome. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11 o'clock, and we look forward to welcoming Miss Claire Holmes from the South American Missionary Society next Sunday morning at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, our service is the service of evening prayer. So as we come together to worship God, we're going to sing our opening hymn, hymn 421 in the Red Church hymnal, I Come With Joy, A Child of God.
Thank you. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together for the Gloria. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Lord. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. A special collect for today, the second Sunday after Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your heavenly glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 49, beginning at verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I'm going to ask now for children and Sunday school leaders to go through to Sunday school. Have a lovely morning and have a lovely time together. We're going to continue our worship as we sing number 11 from Thanks and Praise. Before the throne of God above.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder how influential you would find the recommendations of friends or family members. Sometimes they might suggest to you a restaurant that they've discovered, or they might suggest a holiday destination, or maybe a movie that we should see, or a book that we should read. And those recommendations are very often the motivating factor in getting us to experience what it is that they're recommending to us. Just before COVID, as somebody who doesn't go into town very much, I found myself acting on the recommendation of a parishioner about somewhere nice to eat. And it was a jolly good thing as far as I was concerned. But in the course of a pastoral visit, not long before COVID happened, this lady spoke to me about meeting a friend every couple of months for coffee in town. And she told me, and I'm not getting any commission here, but she told me that they quite often went to the Avoca Cafe. And she told me coffee is really good. And she said, if you are ever having some lunch, it's pretty tasty as well. Now, she didn't say any more than that, but it was enough to whet my curiosity, enough to store it up in the memory bank until an opportunity arose to eventually go and discover for myself. In this morning's gospel reading, which we heard just a few moments ago, we hear about some invitations to come and to see for oneself what all the fuss is about with regards to Jesus. And somebody once suggested to me that one of the most precious resources any of us ever have with regards to the Christian faith is our own story. And one of the biggest joys of my daily work, and we appreciate it all the more as we come out of COVID, is having the opportunity to share stories of everyday life with ordinary people who have found that their faith has been of great help at key moments in their lives. And sometimes those moments are very happy moments, and in other situations they've been the saddest and the most challenging moments in a person's life. Perhaps a time of great loss or sorrow or personal challenge. And as Jesus calls his first disciples, there's a really important question that preceded their call. I guess we could say that it is a question that has relevance for all of us who are searching in any way. And to me, what's interesting is that whenever Jesus encounters people who are searching, and sometimes those people are lagging behind at a distance, he always meets them more than halfway. It's not like he's distant or he's removed from their search. He sees their deep needs, and he addresses those needs in the question that he poses. And on this occasion, the question is, what do you want? What do you want? And that was a really good question to ask a bunch of working men in first century Palestine. And back then, just as now, I guess we would find a lot of different answers to that same question. What do you want? And thinking back to their context of the first century in Palestine, and we think of that cross-section of people that Jesus spoke to, you might wonder, would they answer the question as legalists? And maybe they were looking for conversation about the little details of the law, like the scribes or the Pharisees. Or you might wonder, well, were they ambitious time servers looking for power and looking for position, like the Sadducees? Or were they, politically speaking, were they nationalists looking for a military commander to smash the occupying power of Rome, just like the Zealots were at the time of Jesus? Or were they humble men and women of prayer looking for God and his will, like the group that was known as the Quiet of the Land? Or were they simply bewildered, puzzled, sinful men looking for light on the road of life, looking in some way for the forgiveness of God? And that same question is a really good one to ask ourselves on this Sunday morning as well. What am I looking for as I come to church today? There'll be some people who are perhaps looking for a sense of security, maybe looking for a position that's safe and for enough money to pay the bills and meet the demands of life and be able to put away some for the rainy day. And there might be some people here who are just looking for a little bit more responsibility or power or prestige or influence in our particular field of work, whether it is doing something that we do all the time or maybe in terms of our involvement in an organization that's very important to us. And we just might be looking for a little bit more authority or power. Or maybe we're here this morning and somehow we're searching for some kind of peace, for something that will enable us to live at peace with ourselves, with God, and with other people. And maybe we find difficulties with all three of those at various points. And this is the search for God that these men were on who encountered Jesus. And if we're being honest, ultimately, that is the purpose that only Jesus Christ can meet and supply, unlike anybody else. And when Jesus invited these men to come and see, he was inviting them not only to come and to talk, but also to come and to find the things that he alone could open out to them. And the powerful thing about having an encounter with the Lord Jesus is that he then invites us to invite others. And so the word gets around. In fact, none of us would be here in church this morning unless somebody once told somebody else who told us, and we eventually discovered something of Jesus for ourselves. Oftentimes it is our parents who set us off on this path. Sometimes it's our grandparents or a spouse or a friend or a work colleague, someone whose life is alive with the light and the love of Jesus Christ. And the thing is, we will never really have any heart for inviting others unless we have encountered him ourselves first. And even if we have, if we're honest, it's still a difficult thing to invite those who we would love to see coming. And so I want to go back to my friend who recommended Avoca to me just before COVID, to see if there's anything that she might be able to teach us about inviting others to meet Jesus. The first thing when I met this lady and we had our conversation, the first thing that I noticed as we spoke on that day was that she had a smile on her face every single time she spoke about the Avoca Cafe. Every memory that she had of meeting her friends and eating there seemed to bring her great pleasure. And that was really quite infectious even to see, and to make me think in my head, you know, that must be a lovely place to go to, even though I hadn't been there. Secondly, she was a very humble and a very sincere person. She took a genuine interest in me and my family, and she simply wanted to pass on a good discovery that had helped her and brought her pleasure. She didn't force it on me. She didn't tell me that my life was somehow incomplete without what she had. But she did, however, make it very clear that she wanted me to experience what she had experienced. And she was very confident that it would be a really good thing. The most precious resource that you and I have whenever it comes to our faith is our story. It might be a very ordinary story. If you're someone like me, there were no flashing lights, there was no Damascus Road, but there was just a young man who felt pretty lost and sad with how life was going at a particular point, until somebody pointed out to him that he was loved and he was precious to God. And so as I think of that encounter with somebody, I wonder, can I take as genuine an interest in my neighbors, in the people that I encounter, and perhaps invite them to events like a church service or a Reconnect concert or to some opportunity that's forthcoming in the church, maybe like the Sanctuary course? Can I take such a genuine interest in my neighbors and friends and invite them so that they can come and see for themselves what it is that is so important to me? Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church right throughout the world. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And we pray today for all who are searching for faith in all sorts of different places. And we ask that they would find answers and hope and meaning through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we pray for all who are searching, we pray too for all who seek to share their faith in their daily lives. And we ask that we would be counted among them. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world, and we pray especially for all entrusted with the complex business of leading the nations of the world. We pray for your help for our Prime Minister in all of the complexities that he and his government face at this time. We also pray for peace in Iran, for peace in the Ukraine, and for a de-escalation of conflict, as so many lives are being lost on both sides. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray particularly for all who are living on the streets in this cold and stormy weather. We pray too for all who seek to help and to assist them in their plight. We pray for all who feel exhausted by the burden of their caring responsibilities, as we ask for your wisdom and your grace, and for all the help and support that they need in their role as a carer. Lord, in your mercy. And we take a quiet moment now to bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our prayers continue as we pray together the words of the humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood. Evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name to share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We're going to sing together now hymn number 219, The Servant King.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We make him our
Lord. For we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. God of glory, you nourish us with bread from heaven. Fill us with your Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ the Son, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, now and forevermore. Our closing hymn is a lovely song of discipleship, following Christ alongside those whom we invite to join us. Number 605, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"